chapter 50. And I appreciate the opportunity, Pastor, to come. And it's always great to be with Brother Monty. I always have a smile on my face when I'm with you, brother, and that's a good thing. But praise the Lord. Love the Spirit here and encouraged by what God is doing. And pray that tonight has been a blessing already. And then just to open the Word of God as challenged to you tonight will be a challenge to you like it has been to me. Genesis chapter 50 will be there in just a minute. How many of you ever had a bad day? Yeah. All right. If you didn't raise your hand, we'll preach on lying next. We've all had bad days, right? My life is a 24-hour cycle of bad days. Not saying that in a bad fact my life is, you know, bad. It's great. But I'm one of those guys that if it's going to happen to me, if it's going to happen to anybody that happens to me. You know what I'm talking about? If they're going to trip, it's going to be me. If something's going to break, I'll break it for you. How many of you are like that? You know what I'm talking about? If you're actually willing to admit it. Okay. We were out on a trip in Florida. Not this last trip, but 5 years ago. We were on a trip, and a guy took us out deep sea fishing. How many of you have ever been deep sea fishing in some ocean? I heard it was great. And the first warning sign my wife and I should have had was that the guy's wife, we're like, hey, are you going with? And she's like, no, we're not going. And we thought, okay, all right. Later, we found out why she wasn't going deep sea fishing with her husband. But we went out in the boat, and it wasn't a big boat. We got out there, and we started off to get some bait fish. I didn't know what that meant until we did it. And we took off at full speed, which is fine. We're on the Gulf. It's not too bad, except that we were going so fast and so crazy that things were falling off the boat. Not things like, you know, our boat, our shoes or whatever. I'm talking parts of the boat that were supposed to be on the boat, like attached to the boat. Pieces like plastic things are kind of literally just flying off. My wife looks at me like, what are we doing out here? We get out there, and the guy says, hey, by the way, if you have any stomach issues, if you don't feel good, just look at the horizon, look at the shoreline. I was doing great until that exact moment. All of a sudden, I was like, Florida, you know, that's a great beach line over there, about a couple miles away. The entire time, I was fine until we got there. The entire time, I stared at that. Some of my buddies on the trip were a little bit more, they were chumming the fish, you know what I'm talking about. They were having a grand time over there. Half the team, though, annoyingly, half the team was great. They're sitting there like, man, this is awesome. You know, they're fishing on the front of the boat, and we were not having a great time. Well, that was just a starting point, because we look up, my wife taps me, she's like, hey, babe, look. And look up, and there on the horizon is not just one, but two massive, massive storms. One front coming in this way, you could see them. It wasn't just like, you know, I was on my phone. I checked my phone right after that, and I saw two massive, not red, purple. You know what I'm talking about? Purple storms moving toward us. And that little dot that says, you are here, about to get squished, that was me. Two massive storm fronts pointing right at us. And, you know, we're starting to really shake and really helping us all out anyways. And my wife's like, we got to get going back. And so I said, hey, brother, we should probably go back to the shore. I see the storm. It's like, oh, we're fine. Kept going back to get bait fish. I'm thinking, this is not good. A couple minutes later, my wife said, we got to check this out. And finally, we said, hey, can we go? And he goes, oh, you know what? That's a good idea. And it was getting close. We could see the massive wall of rain. We were really moving on the water now, and it was whipping around. And so he goes to the pilot's chair, turns the key, turns the boat on, and it didn't turn on. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And we are literally now up and down and whipping in circles. And I was like, hey, should we call the Coast Guard? He's like, well, it'd be an hour before they get here, it'd be too late. I'm like, what? Be too late? This is not what I want to hear here. So finally he gets back and jerry rigs the back of the motor. We get going, there's no throttle down ability, so we are full speed, that's all we have. And we are racing against the storm, and literally the two storms met behind us. You can see the walls meet and coming at us, and we got the front end of the rain. That's all we got. We came in, we had to slam into the pier like three times because we had no brakes on the thing, no throttle down. And it was one of those days. We started out deep sea fishing. Ended up thinking, wet, cold, miserable, our stomachs were messed up, thinking, I am never going again. I actually just did in Pensacola Bay and had a grand time just a few weeks ago because we were with a different kind of person on the boat. But it was great. But it was at one of those moments where it was just a perfect day, and it turned completely sour. You know, there's a person in Scripture that literally their entire first part of their life seemed to be a bad day after bad day after bad day. Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. He's a man who literally went through hurt after hardship, after trial, after injustice, after misunderstanding, after attack. A life full of horrible things, Christian. And what does he do afterwards? He blesses God. Joseph, the man of God. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 19 says this, and Joseph said unto them, Who is them? His brothers. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? His brothers have come to him after Jacob's death. Humanly, a good move in saying, hey, don't kill us. Don't kill us. And it says in verse number 17, Joseph wept. But verse 20, he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Lord, help us in this short time. Open your eye, open our eyes so your word and what you have for us, help us to obey you. In your name we pray. Amen. Joseph, who was threatened with death by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, wrongly accused of immorality, forgotten in prison. He trusted God each time. It doesn't get any worse than Joseph, I'll tell you that. It's like a comical script gone bad. Everything. And if you can dream it up, you put it in. That's the story of Joseph. It just kept getting worse and getting worse and getting worse until, as we'll find out, he's at rock bottom. Let me ask you, Christian, maybe right now, you're at rock bottom. You're here on Sunday night at Faith Baptist Church. And you're dressed in your Sunday best. And you look good. You've checked the boxes of your Christian life. And everything on the outside looks like it's going well. But right now, maybe you, Christian, inside, you are a mess. Maybe you've hit rock bottom. Maybe nobody knows. Maybe just your spouse or a family member. But you've hit it from the staff here. You've hit it from your pastor. You've hit it from your other friends at this church and other people that could help you. And you have had it. I don't know if it's a financial issue or physical trial or maybe a death in the family. Maybe some kind of relationship gone bad. Maybe it has something to do with COVID-19. I don't know. Maybe all this unrest in the country, something's happening. Maybe it's just you're beyond discouraged about something in your life and you just want to throw the towel. And I was one of those guys that quit. You ever met those guys that quit growing, like playing game? And I played basketball with my brother and he hated it. You know, we're playing game 21. He's winning 20-3, 20-4, and I would take the ball and go inside and quit because I was about to lose. So I just quit. I was like, I'm not going to win. So I lose. I just walk up. But he's like, come on, Dale, come back here. I said, no, I'm done. Well, when I got bigger than him, we started playing. He just didn't start playing with me because he got smart, and I beat him every time. But you know, I was one of those guys that would quit, throw the towel in, as a little kid. I will tell you this: a lot of Christians inside have quit. We need Christians today. We're going to say, I want to respond right to what God has for me. Let me tell you this. Listen very carefully. When life doesn't make sense, remember God's plans are always good. Christian, you believe that? When life doesn't make sense, remember God's plans are always good. We have to trust Him and respond right in every situation of life. Two key points about God's plan tonight, and then one about our response should be. Number one, the mystery of God's plan for my life. Maybe you say tonight, brother, hey, life just doesn't make sense. And I will tell you, the last 4.5 months, almost 5 months, and I can't believe I'm saying that about COVID-19. That's a long time. But the last few months do not make sense. Some of the stuff that's happening is unbelievable. And you look through this trial, and I will tell you, some of you here, COVID-19 maybe was just a major annoyance. That's all it was. And it is a major annoyance. Some of you here, maybe COVID-19, or you know somebody that has been a major trial. You've lost your job, et cetera, et cetera. You think, why is God doing this? Life just doesn't make sense. Why is God's plan a mystery to me? Two very obvious points, but very important points. Number one, He's God. God, the Creator God, He says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Romans 11, 33 and 34, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Christian, I will tell you tonight, God, the Creator God, doesn't have to share with His creation what's going on. Now, He can sometimes, and He does sometimes, and He gives us His Word, and He gives us His promises. But sometimes life just doesn't make sense. But, you know, sometimes His plan's a mystery to us because, number one, He's God. Number two, this is not a very profound thing to say, but we're human. You say, what does that have to do with it? I'll tell you this. I know about myself. We're selfish. Humans are selfish. Are you? I know I am. I might be the only selfish one in the room, but I know I'm very selfish. And I will tell you what, if I knew what trial was coming and when it was coming, you know what I would do? Avoid the trial. Wouldn't you? You know, if you're in the store and aisle 3 has a massive tomato soup spill all over the place, my son would go straight for it, okay? He would crawl, walk, slams into it. My daughter would jump into it. He'd have a grand time. You would avoid it, I would think, right? You saw a sign on the road that said, you know, bridge out. except for the 16-year-olds who just got their licensing, that everybody else would go around, right? You're not going to go, hey, let's test my car's jumping ability over the water. I hope you wouldn't think that, okay? Maybe somebody's here. But, you know, if you see a sign that says, bridge out, danger, don't go, you go around, you take the detour. Christian, if we knew exactly the time and date and the place of the trial, next trial that God had, we would try to avoid it. And God says, no, I'm not going to do that. God's plan is a mystery, but sometimes God's plan is hard. Why is it so hard? Why is sometimes the trials, why are they so hard? Well, it's for your growth, Christian. It's for my growth. It's for God to help us grow in so many different ways in our life. You know, my little kids in the nursery, I use a lot of illustrations because I'm right there. I'm a dad of young kids. But my little boy is starting to walk, and he's starting to go after it, and he has tumbled so many times. Bonked his head, bounced his head, you know, you name it. Trip, bam, boom, crash. And he's crying, and he's trying. I'm getting back up and go for it, right? And I'm not being a harsh dad. Because I want him to learn that, you know what, you've got to learn your balances. If you don't, you're going to fall over and hit your head. My daughter, a year and a half ago, she was this young little girl. She walked down 2 cement stairs without me. She zoomed ahead of me, tripped, fell, smashed, blood everywhere. Now, that was not a good thing. I should have probably been there. And it was a horrible feeling as a dad, cleaning up all that. And I felt horrible to my daughter, you know, as well. My son, you know, he can get a little blood, that's fine. But my daughter, it's my little princess. But I will tell you, a year and a half later, she's only 3 years old, still to this day, we'll come back, we'll probably walk on those stairs this next week. And she will walk down those stairs, she'll look at me and say, Daddy, I need to hold your hand so I don't trip. She learned. Christian, I will tell you, that's why God does this sometimes. He teaches us. Sometimes it's the hardest thing we've ever been through. And I'm talking to people in this room. You have had some of the most brutal trials in your life. God's plan is for us, hard sometimes because it grows us. It makes us who we are. Joseph, he went through some of the hardest trials you could ever go through. He had family rejection, Genesis 37. His brothers hated him. We won't get into it for time's sake, but his brothers hated him because of their father's, you know, adoration and that coat of many colors. And not only hate and family rejection, but physical hurt. He comes out there to see his brothers, and what do? They want to kill him, but they don't. They throw him in a pit. And then, total humiliation. I will tell you what, in his mind, probably could not get worse. He comes out to see his brothers, thrown into a pit, and then some traveling Ishmaelites come by, and they sell him for 20 pieces of silver, going to Egypt away. And in Joseph's mind, probably, I'll never see my family again, but what is going on? At rock bottom? Nope, not with him. He gets down to Egypt. And he gets sold to Potiphar, the top captain of the guard in Egypt, one of the top rulers there in Egypt under Pharaoh. Now Joseph, side note by the way, was not a bitter, angry man. How do we know? He was put in charge of Potiphar's house. Potiphar saw something different in that man. Joseph came down, he had a stature. This man believed God. He was put in charge of Potiphar's house. Learned how to, by the way, side note as well, learned how to direct traffic and learn how to lead people, learn how to do all these things, which is very important. God knew exactly what he was doing. But then here comes Potiphar's wife. And she tries to seduce him. And he says, no, leaving a cloak in her hand, knowing full well he's in trouble. Slandered character. Man, it can't get any worse, can it? He's thrown into prison. And he's in prison. And the chance comes, the butler and the baker. And he gives the dream. And the baker dies. The butler goes back to Pharaoh, and he says, I won't forget you. But in Genesis 40:23, he forgot him. And if it could get any worse, there it is. He's not only in prison, he was forgotten, alone, and at the end. Probably the way it worked back then, forgotten forever. Probably in the bottom of some hole somewhere at the end. Now, by the way, he was in charge of the prison there too. He was leading that. But there he is at the end in the mystery of God's plan. What's going on? I will tell you, there comes a time, Christian, where God says, hey, by the way, here's why I did that. Hey, by the way, here's why all these things are happening in your life. In Genesis chapter 41, you can turn there real quickly. We don't have a lot of time. In Genesis 41, I think one of the most incredible passages of Scripture, Pharaoh needs this dream interpreted. The butler remembers, hey, I forgot this guy in prison. He comes out to cut right to the chase. Pharaoh says, hey, interpret this dream. And verse 16 of Genesis 41, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Why is that so significant? The first words out of Joseph's mouth, after all of these trials, he stands in front of Pharaoh and he says, by the way, Pharaoh, I can't do it, but my God can. Jehovah God can help you. That's a man who was blessing God. That's a man who was focusing on his God. Verse 25, he says it. Verse 28, he says it. Verse 32, he says it. He keeps referring to God, Jehovah God. He's the one who can help you, Pharaoh. Pharaoh looks in verse 38, and this is incredible. Can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Verse 36, for as much as God has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house according to unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. I will tell you, Pharaoh looked at Joseph after all these trials, after all these injustices, after all these mistreatments, after all the slander of character, everything gone wrong in his life, and he looks at Joseph and says, there's no man like this I've ever seen. The Spirit of God is in him. He's a discreet and wise man. Let me ask you, Christian, when we come out of a trial, is that what people say about us? Wow. That person, they're walking with God. You know, you ever been around a person that just lost a relative, horrible trial, tragedy, and they're just glowing? We just came with a pastor. He lost his wife 3 years ago. We've known that whole time. The day of his wife's funeral, he was emailing me about some trip that he wanted me to come down to see him. Every time he would be with him, he deflects about his wife's passing. He'll talk about it a little bit. He'll talk about his wife, he just glows with the Spirit of God. It's encouraging to be around him because of that. Christian, what about you? We all go through trials. What is your response? When Pharaoh looked at Joseph, he was struck with the man of God that Joseph had become through the trials. You know, God's plan is perfect because He knows the future. He puts Joseph in charge of all of Egypt just in time for the famine to come and him to save not only the known world, but his family. God knew what He was doing. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? All things work together for good? You know, we can say we believe it. We can say amen. In our hearts, we can say, yeah, I believe that. But do we act like we believe it? Do we actually, in our lives, take steps of faith, believing Him? God's plan is perfect because He loves me. Do you believe He loves you? John, you know, you look at all the words, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You look at so many verses about God's love, Romans 8, 38, 39, some of my favorite verses. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I will tell you what, tonight you may be discouraged, you might be down, you might be at the end of your rope. But God loves you, Christian. And God's plans are perfect. It doesn't matter what's happening. God knows exactly. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Lord in any way. But it's not like God's sitting in heaven going, whoops. Man, I messed up on Daniel's life. Yikes. Hey, can we get a little reset on him? No, He's not saying that at all. God knows exactly what... By the way, COVID-19 did not surprise the Lord. At all. This unrest in the country did not surprise the Lord. November, whatever happens there, will not surprise the Lord. He knows what's going to happen. He's directed it. He has the things planned exactly for our lives. And Christian, we have to trust Him. God's plans are good. What should our response be? And we're done. The acceptance of God's plan for my life. Three short little points. Number one, the first response when a trial comes, reject bitterness and discouragement. I will tell you what the first response sometimes when this COVID thing happened, there were times we're in 3 to 4 hour staff meetings, we're trying to get our college online and all these craziness, and I come home and I'm thinking, grouchy, like governor, I got like a Marxist governor now, you know. Sorry, on live stream. I'm serious, we had Scott Walker, you know, before, so now we've got that. We got that going on and all these things, and I just get angry inside and you get upset. And one day I came home and I was just so upset and I'm being transparent. You just wanted to, right? This is not fair. This is not right. Churches are essential and we want to worship God and this is hurting me. It's just intense and all this stuff is happening. And you can easily get discouraged and easily, Christian. And I've been in the ministry for a while and I've been a pastor's son all my life. You can see bitterness happen so fast. Trials And difficulties reveal our true character. It's like a toothpaste tube. When you squeeze a toothpaste tube, you want toothpaste to come out, right? Crest toothpaste. Boom. What if you squeezed your toothpaste tube tonight and creamy peanut butter came out? Be a good dad joke, right? You know, be kind of a tasty kind of time right there. But I'll tell you, that's not what you want to come out of the toothpaste tube. But I will tell you, Christian, when the trials come and life squeezes you, what comes out? What comes out of your mouth? What are the words and what are the actions? I will tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. You can say, hey, I'm walking with God. I'm a good person. And bam, you get with the trial. What comes out? That's who you truly are. That's who you're truly depending on. Second thing, choose thankfulness and joy. I will tell you, this is where it comes down to. On that day when I was grouchy, upset, this is practical. This is almost humorous. I sat down in my living room and I was just like, argh. My wife left me alone. She was making supper. I'm just sitting there, you know. I'm not typically that way. I'm more a happy guy. I was sitting there just kind of steaming. And I said, I want to be like this. And I looked around the room and I started thanking God for all the practical things in the room that I could see that God had given to us as a family. You know, this clock on the wall from Hobby Lobby, $120 for $3. Massive clock. It's real nice. My sister-in-law works there. You know, helps. Seriously. You know, let her know if you need any deals. You know, the couch for a great deal, and this chair was given to us, and this. And I started going around, and by the time I 30 seconds into it, the devil left. And I was as happy as I could be. Because I was thanking God for what He had given to me. Just a few months, about a month before the pandemic started, my friend, our security director at our church, gave me a $5,000 Chevy Impala LTZ with the turbo package. You know what I'm talking about? That top package in there? Great car. I needed a car. He gave it to me, signed it over to me. Out of the blue. Unbelievable. And a couple times my wife would remind me, hey, I was discouraged during this pandemic. She said, look at this car. God gave that to us. If you could do that, God knows what's going on. Choose thankfulness and joy. By the way, Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. All the time. There's no excuses. God doesn't give us any wiggle room. You say, Brother Bank, what am I to be thankful for? I'm at the worst time of my entire life. I'll tell you this right now, Christian. You can be thankful that God saved your soul. Amen. He came down to this earth as a man and died for us and rose again. And we have eternal life. And you have nothing else to thank God for. By the way, there is more. But if you have nothing else and you are at the end of everything, say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. It will change everything. The trial doesn't go away. It doesn't magically float away. No, our focus goes right to the one who can help us in the trial. And lastly, we're done. Trust God's goodness. We're back to Genesis 50. Our verse tonight, what does he say? You thought evil against me. Hey, you guys, you were out to get me. What? God meant it unto good. God knew what he was doing the whole time. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let me read a poem real quickly, Pastor, if that's okay to end this. I'm finished. My sister wrote this 10 years ago about Joseph. From Joseph's perspective, we're finished. As on that lonely path I walked with weary, dusty feet, a painful cry suppressed within my heart longed to retreat. But no, in ropes I walked forth bound, my future now unknown, and to this land I did not know I walked that path alone. Oh, all around the crowd was thick with merchants, slaves, and wares. Yet all alone I walked this path with none to share my cares. They did this evil unto me. They put me on this path. The ones that here on earth I loved outpoured their cruel wrath. In mockery the desert sun beat hard upon the land, reflecting visions of my dreams, mirages in the sand. And from cracked lips my cry arose directed to the sky. These dreams from you shall wither here. Of thirst my soul shall die. With every labored step I took, my wounded soul grew numb. Life as I knew, a fading mist, fate's slave I now become. But as I walked, the love of God upon my path did shine, and His own loving, tender voice spoke to this heart of mine. O Joseph, do not fear this path that I have made for you. The promises I have given you, doubt not, they shall come true. At these great words I paused, confused. I could not understand how this path, caused by hateful strife, was formed of God's own hand. Then whistling through my wandering thoughts, the driver's whip did crack and push me forward on the path, pain searing through my back. Now violently my thoughts swirled round as dust on traveled trail. But then God's voice, like calming wind, dispelled the hazy veil. Look not behind, O weary one, at hurt which brought you here. Nor look, though, down upon the path this present trial to fear, but only look ahead in faith and trust I am your God. Hold tight the dreams I've given you. Look upward as you plod. Now from this view, the path I see,
the journey understood that they thought evil unto me, but God meant it for good. Psalm 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask one question to give to Pastor. Say, Brother Van Gelder, tonight, I have not trusted God's goodness. In some way, shape, or form, some angle, this message, God's dealt in my heart. I have not trusted the goodness of God. You see, Brother Van Gelder, pray for me. Pray for me, my upraised hand, pray for me. I trust God's goodness through whatever trial in my life. Trust God's goodness tonight. Anybody up, my upraised hand, you say, pray for me. I see that hand. Anybody else at all? Amen. You raise it up high. Won't point you out. Amen. See that hand. Anybody else who say, pray for me, Brother Van Gelder, that God would work in my heart. Lord, I thank you so much for what you have done in my heart through these times and these trials. Thank you for what you want to do in the hearts of each one here. Help us to take the steps of obedience to obey you and have you work in our hearts. In Jesus' name.